Hey, cowboy, this is good.
Hey, welcome to Space Gab. This is Mike Coletta. It's the 21st of October, 2022. Space Gab can be heard at www.spacegabpodcast.com. And once you're there, you can select any venue there on the list to hear the episodes. Well, do you know what this is? That's Spark, the high-frequency active auroral research program, Spark in Alaska, run by the Geophysical Institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Now, used to be the government, remember that? And there was all kinds of conspiracy theories. And guess what? There still are all kinds of conspiracy theories. Yes. That's HARP. And why are we hearing it? Because it's active. HARP is doing their research campaign October 19th through the 28th, 2022. Their research campaign. Guess what? This time they're doing 12 different experiments. And a radio enthusiast can listen also. You can hear things like this. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to this time, but many stations around the country heard these signals. And guess what? I do have links to some of the signals that they shared on my Twitter feed. It's twitter.com/Mike_Coletta. M-I-K-E underscore C-O-L-E-T-T-A. You can see many of the captures that individuals from all around the world have actually listened to now. This is the Moon Bounce experiment that they're actually performing now, Moon Bounce, and it's being transmitted on 9.6 megahertz, and you hear a 30 kilohertz wide bandwidth audio frequency there as it sweep. It's a sweeping frequency. Now, I'll tell you what, you still got some time if you want to listen to this HARP during any of these experiments. On my Twitter feed, I do have some links that will actually get you to the documents that I have in my hand right here, which are the documents that explain the different experiments. They tell you the times and the dates when those experiments are going to be held, and they tell you the approximate frequency they're going to be held. And there's another list here that kind of explains some of the experiments that are going on there at HARP during this research campaign that they're doing right now. Now, HARP is very, very controversial in many ways because there's so many conspiracy theories, and I've talked about it in the past. And if you go online on Twitter or Facebook and you type in HARP, everything is being blamed on HARP. Anytime a raindrop hits the ground, anytime a cloud looks weird, anytime the wind is blowing too weird, anytime the sun might be too bright, HARP, 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 HARP. Everything is being blamed on HARP. And you know what? HARP isn't on that much anymore. Now, in the old days, the government was controlling HARP. And yes, they say that they can control the weather somewhat with the ionosphere. They heat up the ionosphere. Well, these experiments, there are some heating experiments going on here. But let's see. Moon Bounce, that's going on. I think that may have ended today. May have been the last day. Making the Invisible Visible is coming up. Also, a very popular one, Ghosts in the Air Glow. That's done by Amanda Dawn Christie. Now, that one is really cool because it's kind of like an art form being transmitted via HARP. And if you go into these documents that I have a link to, the two documents, you can read a little bit about it and read about a little bit about some of the experiments here. But Amanda Dawn Christie, she is her first composition I participated in the reception of. I was in Colorado at the time, and I was able to receive it really well. Now, unfortunately, I don't think I received anything the last 3 days here in Oklahoma with my SDR and my antenna. But I thought maybe I had. I did post it on my Twitter feed that I thought I maybe caught a couple of transmissions, but I don't think I did. I really don't think I did. After I'm listening to some of the people who actually did, and where they're located at, a little bit different than me. I think they're more toward the north, actually toward Alaska, where the HAARP is that received this. Actually, I even saw a capture from Italy, British Columbia, Vancouver, a lot of places are picking it up north, and some of them are picking up. I think, I'm not sure if it's the bounce back off the ionosphere, which it could be, or because they're close proximity to it, or if they're getting the actual moon bounce. I think the moon bounce is about 1.5 to 2 seconds after the actual direct reception of the frequency occurs, the echo from the moon bounce. Now, I have caught moon bounces in the past off the old space fence, the VHF space fence, when I used to monitor that before they decommissioned that. That was very fun to get the moon bounces off of that. That was a long extended moon bounce. Their research campaign today only went for like a half hour, I believe. But it's been going the first day, I think it went for a couple hours, actually. People had the most chance to capture it then. But hey, if you want to go check this out, now there's a lot more going on. Like I said, Amanda Dawn Christie with her Ghosts in the Air Glow. There's a number of different options she's going to be sending out that you can capture with that one. Really interesting stuff. They're actually going to also have a Jupiter bounce. They're going to attempt to bounce the HAARP signal off of Jupiter. That ought to be pretty cool, too. A lot of these, I don't know. They don't really give the specific frequencies. They say to be announced, to be determined later on, but like ionosphere satellite interactions is one of them. There's a HAARP Fisher HAARP heating. Then they have a wave mode conversion experiment. Artificial periodic inhomogeneity. I don't even know what that is. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to slaughter that. Then they have also the HF ocean scatter experiment, VLF amplification experiment, and a number of others. But I think a lot of people are interested in the moon bounce one that just possibly ended today. That was a popular one that people were trying to receive. Now also, the Ghost in the Air Glow, that's very popular. I think a lot of people will be trying to receive that one because last time she actually had there's music that's being broadcast, voice. Last time they're actually slow scan TV, but this time she's actually going to be sending out, I think, some actual video being transmitted via HAARP. Let's see here. They're going to be working on, what is it called? I'm just kind of looking. Narrowband television, NBTV video art. Narrowband television video art. Spoken word and sound art created by Amanda Dawn Christie with the AM modulation of narrowband NBTV. That's a new one she didn't do last time. So, and then Airglow and the Luxembourg experiments, they'll be paired with this other things here. But yeah, really cool stuff. I'm just kind of rambling right now on this, but I'll tell you, controversies, conspiracy theories, and art form, and actual experimentation. Atmospheric heating, yes. In the old days, HAARP did try a lot of things, and they were called out on it, and they did admit to it finally on some of the experiments that they used to try in the very early days, but now the university takes control. And I guess they just got a pretty sizable grant that a lot of more people are going to be able to actually use HAARP at possibly no cost, I'm thinking. I know you can rent time on HAARP, but I know that if you go to their website, and I do have a link there on my Twitter feed to the website, it explains more about the grant that they actually received and what it means to the public who want to experiment using the HAARP array. But it's a pretty cool stuff. But yeah, so HAARP is active. It will be active until the 28th of October. And you're going to, as more people find out about HAARP being active now, you're going to see conspiracy theories going wild. I've already been seeing a lot of that stuff going wild. Everything that happens, even though they do blame HAARP, even when HAARP's not on, which is most of the time it's off. But it is now on, during the day and the nighttime. And people are going to be blaming anything they see on HARP. Now, most of those people don't know much about HARP itself, except from what they've heard from others. But I've been involved in about 4 or 5 years monitoring and capturing these research campaigns that HARP has been having. It's really a lot of fun. This will be my first time from Oklahoma. If today is any indication, I don't know if I'm going to be able to capture anything from here. We'll see. The ghosts in the air glow will probably be my best bet, because with the moon bounce, I think they've pointed the array actually toward the moon itself. So not upward, where it's pointed on a wide swath across the ionosphere. So maybe when the ghosts in the air glow happens, I'll receive. And that's going to be going on for 4 different days, ghosts in the air glow. That'll be the 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. But do go onto my Twitter feed, or just type in HARP Research Campaign 2022 and go find this information that's on there. Two pages, pretty much, will kind of explain. And you could actually read more about it. But these two pages will give you an explanation of some of the experiments, along with the times, dates, and frequencies that these experiments will be on. So if you hear HARP, let me know. I've been posting other people's captures, since I can't post my own. Although I did try. I did post some attempts at captures, what I thought were HARP captures, but I don't think they are now. I don't think I'm not sure. The one that's got the clicking, the sweep, it's not a long sweep, but I may have been getting, who knows, I may have actually gotten the moon bounce. It's kind of weird, but it was on day one. And it is the 2 seconds interval that the actual sweeping is going on, that the people are capturing the longer sweeps. So maybe I did catch, maybe the moon bounce I caught by accident. I don't know. Oh, well. I'd like to think so, but you don't know. But hey, have fun listening to HARP, listening for HARP, and sharing your HARP captures if you get a chance. HARP is active. NASA announces unidentified aerial phenomena study team members. NASA tweets out, "We've selected 16 individuals to participate in an independent study team on unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, or observations in the sky that cannot be identified as aircraft or known natural phenomena. The 9-month study will begin on October 24th. Wow, can you believe it? NASA has put together a UAP team. They're taking UAP, UFO, more serious, apparently. I know I know that UFO Twitter, the hashtag UFO Twitter, has been keeping anything to do with UFO or UAP or UFO sightings and all that, they've been keeping it trending day after day after day for a number of weeks now. Just pumping out as much as they can, pretty much. But so the announcement from NASA just came out today, I believe. And UFO Twitter is going crazy. Let's see, the independent study will begin on Monday, October 24th. Over the course of 9 months, the independent study team will lay the groundwork for future study on the nature of UAPs for NASA and other organizations. To do this, the team will identify how data gathered by civilian government entities, commercial data, and data from other sources can potentially be analyzed to shed light on UAPs. It will then recommend a roadmap for potential UAP data analysis by the agency going forward. Let's see. The study will focus solely on unclassified data. A full report containing the team's findings will be released to the public in mid-2023. Wow. I'll tell you, UFO Twitter got their way. Recently, I've got a couple of good captures of the International Space Station orbiting overhead, and also China's Tiangong space station. This morning, a really nice pass. I actually shared a GIF showing from three different angles the ISS as it traveled over my area here. And you can go check those out on my Twitter feed. Once again, the Twitter feed is twitter.com/Mike_Coletta, MIKE_COLETTA. You can see those videos or GIFs along with any other article I'm going to be talking about, and a lot of stuff that I'm not going to be talking about. Really kind of cool space stuff going on there. Well, I guess the Biden administration officials, it says here, that they are discussing whether the U.S. should subject some of Elon Musk's ventures to national security reviews, I guess. I don't know. I think the deal with Twitter is going to be one of them, but the Starlink, satellite network is under review. And I haven't really looked into all this yet. But, you know, what they need to remember, and I know a lot of people are tweeting out and speaking on social media that, you know, the government's going after Musk because they can't control him. I'll tell you, they best be careful as far as, I mean, he provides a lot of services for the United States, a lot. Space being one of them, and the satellite networks, and Twitter aside for now, but just the space industry. He is pretty much the space industry for the U.S., I mean, on the whole, as far as the many launches that he does for this country. And, you know, NASA's not proven yet back. They're trying to get the SLS, you know, with the Artemis 1 going. And they did give I think it was November the 14th or so, with the next possible launch day, the windows open up. But they haven't launched on their own. You got ULA, which does. But NASA itself hasn't really launched yet, like they used to launch the shuttles and things like this. Right now, it's SpaceX is pretty much the, you know, the space industry for us, and with others trying to come on board. But I mean, I don't know what they're going to be looking into for sure. I don't get much into politics, and this a lot. Looking at a lot of these tweets and different social media posts, it looks like a lot of it is politics. But so I don't know exactly why they're going after him, but space, I mean, what if he just decided to say, okay, I'm done. I'm not, good luck. We'll see. But yeah, I guess more people will be following stuff like this to see if they're actually going to be subjecting his ventures to national security reviews. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens, I guess. CNSA Watcher shared a nice video of the moonset taken from the Tiangong Space Station, China's Tiangong CSS. If you'd like to go check that out, I got a nice little link there to that video. So that's kind of cool. I guess also ESA is moving some missions to the Falcon 9, they're saying. They're moving two missions. They're planning to launch the Space Telescope and an asteroid mission on the Falcon 9 rockets because of its loss of access to Soyuz vehicles and the Ariane 6 delays, apparently. But there's more on that article if you'd like to read more about the whys and ifs and whats and all about that. But, yeah, so SpaceX Falcon 9 going to get some more. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. If he decides, I'm sure that SpaceX will keep on going. We'll figure it out. This last story I was just talking about, the security, national security reviews. He provides quite a bit, and then ESA is moving missions, and, you know, SpaceX is doing nothing but launching a lot. A lot of Starlinks, too. They just launched another Starlink. What was it, last night, yesterday, something like that? I have to look back at the review. I've been busy with this HARP stuff. Preparing for that, and unfortunately, I haven't really received anything yet, I don't think, but so Falcon 9 on the move with more missions. Apparently, the first Saudi-owned communications satellite, Arabsat 1A, it was launched in 1985, and it operated in geostationary Earth orbit until July 1992. Unfortunately, it was abandoned in a GEO drift orbit instead of being moved up a few hundred kilometers to a graveyard position, I guess. And now they're worried that it's actually going to be interfering with other satellites in similar orbits. They're not, I don't know, it's, I guess it's changed, its orbit has changed suddenly, and now they're worried that it might be a hazard debris, basically, to cause some possible collisions. But we'll just have to wait and see on this one. I do have the article on there. Jonathan McDowell at Planet 4589 talks more about that. And so, you know, we'll just have to wait and see if this satellite is just going to be kind of like a rogue satellite and getting in the path of other satellites. I'll keep you posted. Well, NASA astronaut James A. McDivitt, who commanded the Gemini 4 mission, also flew around the moon as the commander of Apollo 9. He passed away on October 13th. It says here he passed away peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by his family and friends. He was 93 years old. Well, the International Space Station, it was reported on the 17th of October, Roscosmos reported that they provided a orbital correction for the ISS. A maneuver was performed to avoid a piece of space junk. The engines of the Progress MS-20 fired for 630.8 seconds, and the orbit was increased for 1.75 kilometers just to get away from that space junk. Lots of stuff up there. Here we were just talking about space junk and more space junk. So you got a lot of satellites and junk and stuff up there. But luckily, the ISS is able to perform these avoidance maneuvers as it does. Well, that's it. Until next time.
Space Cowboys.